Dean, it's another great privilege to be here in
this auditorium tonight in the service of the Lord. And now tomorrow night is a special night for prayer for the sick. They give it over mostly to the people that are, they're going to come from the hospitals and things. Usually in the meetings when we have it set up, we have an emergency room that when they have a big meeting, where they, where people can get in and be prayed for each time when they come. They can't get into the prayer line. We have a room that maybe they come for, flew in by plane or something for hundreds of miles and just have to be there that one night and go back. So we always try to catch them all. But when we're having this type of service, I feel that every person that's in the building is prayed for each night. See, because as I try to make it plain, you see, that if there was, like a man sitting here in a wheelchair. If I know that there, if I could take a quarter and push it with my nose around this city, have that man to get up out of that chair and be made well, I'd do it. Sure, I'd certainly do it. And now maybe he'll live an ordinary lifetime sitting in that chair. But maybe there's a man sitting out there somewhere that's got heart trouble, in just a few hours and now he's going to be dead, unless something helps him. He's in a more critical condition than this man sitting in this chair. Then I would push the quarter certainly around the city with my nose, which would take me days to do it. And I probably had no nose left when I got through pushing around. But I would do it to see that poor mortal heal. So I cannot heal anyone. I never have healed anyone, but I have seen tens of thousands healed. And so the only thing I try to do is to get them to have faith in what's already appropriated for them. So when you see, is think, if Jesus came here tonight and was wearing this suit of clothes that he gave me, and you walk up to him and say, Lord, will you heal me? He would perhaps look astonished at you. To say, you're a believer in me? Do not you read the scripture? Yes, Lord. Well, did not you read that where I purchased your healing at Calvary? I have already done it. Here's what it is. If you ever see anything in a pawn shop, and then you go and redeem that from the pawn shop, you cannot redeem it the second time. It's already redeemed. If someone gives you a ticket where the price has been paid and that article is redeemed, it's redeemed. You don't pay for it a second time. That's where Moses made his sin, the striking the rock the second time instead of speaking to it. See? He spoke the first time. What did he speak of? The weakness of the blood of Jesus, that he had to be smitten for each individual. Christ is smitten for our healing. We just speak to the rock, man. It brings forth its healing. But you see, we have been taught wrong all about this your laying on of hands and sensations, and don't never build your hopes of salvation upon a sensation, because you can have all kinds of sensations. But build it upon the Word of God. That's where you can beat Satan anytime, upon the Word. It's thus saith the Lord. Remember one night, I don't want to keep you here. I ain't going to say nothing now. I was so many things that if I could stay there for a month, I could have, not have, if I could write and book, but what I have seen the Lord do would almost make a library in itself. Hundreds of books, books and write, are the things that I've seen, just know it did. Me, about 35 years, or 31 years of service for me, and I've seen him do in the meetings that I've held, and around the world. And there are great things that were startling us, but I can remember them and think of them, but we don't write of them, just let them go across. Sometimes Jesus said, Jesus just turned on God. After all, Jesus died for a people that God foreknew would be saved. Now that is true, he came to save that which was lost, but by foreknowledge he knew which would be saved. Now, he certainly is for everybody that has faith enough to receive it. Salvation is for everybody who has faith enough to receive it. In a meeting, If I'm not mistaken, it's right here in Illinois. Is there a little place up here called Vandalia or something? Vandalia, I think. Where is that? Vandalia? Or just across the river in Missouri, or somewhere, here in Illinois, coming through the line one night, there was a lady, and you had to watch what he said. Now, in these visions that you see, you're taking place in the platform, I don't do that. You know who does that? You do it. You don't know it, but you're the one that's doing it. You say, Brother Brown, that's exactly right, Clay. You do that yourself. That's just, I wish I could explain it, but there's no way of doing it. It's just like shifting your car and getting it into a gear, see? And it's just like the Holy Spirit, just a gift to know how to shift yourself out and let Him do the talking. See, shift yourself out. Then it isn't you talking, it's Him. And you do that yourself. To try to make a little estimation of it, I'd say this. Maybe we're all going to a carnival. There's this carnival coming to the city of Circus. We're all up here, we ministers, we're young fellows, and we won't get in to see that. So it happened to be that I was a great, big, tall, skinny fellow. And brother here was short and sturdy. Now he maybe had a better chance, but he's stronger than I am. Well, now he could pack water, he was big, strong. He could do things that I couldn't do at all. Now I can't help because I'd be tall and skinny. He can't help because he's short and strong. See? Who taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Says he. We are what we are, and that's one thing that's hurt our Pentecostal mood. In other moods, if somebody trying to be something that they're not, they're trying to impersonate someone else. You can't do that. You're just what you are. That's all. And when you do that, God will use you. And that's what you are. And you're just as important as anybody else. As I said the other night, the little bitty hairspray in this watch is just as important as the mainspring. Because it takes it all together to make time. And that when we realize our position in Christ and then abide in that, if it's just a little housewife, stay right there. That's what God wants you to do. See? Just be what you are. And many of you remember the healing of Congressman Upshaw. Had been in the wheelchair for 66 years, served 17 years in the United States government as a congressman and so forth. Never seen him in my life. And Dr. Roy E. Davis of the Missionary Baptist Church that baptized me into the Baptist faith was a Baptist fellowship, we call it. We believe in the Baptist Church that the Spirit baptizes you into the body, but we are baptized if you've been a Tamilite and been immersed any way you want to, you come into the Baptist Church, you've got to be baptized over into that fellowship. So we call it baptized into the fellowship of the Baptist Church. He was the one that Congressman Upshaw there that was, and he was never seen. He walked into the building there in Los Angeles where thousands upon thousands in wheelchairs there were. And I seen him in a vision begin to speak. He was healed that night for the first time out of that chair without those crushes and things for 66 years. Congressman William D. Upshaw. Fine friends up Churchill and all those. And as you all know, that when I went there and prayed for King George, and he had multiple sclerosis, he was healed instantly the next day, played 18 holes of golf and couldn't step for just a few minutes at a time. And I was up at Gospel's, and Gospel's brother at the Pentecostal. And a lot of you, some of you people, down in the Pentecostal, it's because you live here in a little city and don't know the rest of the world. 40% of our government is Pentecostal. That's right, we're your Pentecostal influence. Billy Graham said, no longer can you hide the Pentecostal church. It's the fastest growing church in the world. What did our Sunday visitor, the Catholic Church, make a statement? That last year alone, the Pentecostals had 1,500,000 registered converts. More than all the rest of them put together. We're not a bunch of trash. We come out of here, we're up on glory. The Pentecostal Church, the government officials and all, I had breakfast with Mr. Nixon right there in Washington, D.C., and speaking in a few days with some of the state senators in my home. Asked my secretary, these private interviews like we had this morning, and what we have of the morning, where the people come to find out what the Lord has to say. They stay there. We wait there until the Lord speaks. Not like these little visions you see here. I mean, you do them. But doctors, statesmen, congressmen, potentates from the world over. I was talking to my secretary, that's his mother and his father-in-law and mother-in-law sitting right there now. The other day, they're waiting on the list from internationally. Over 600 waiting now from around the world. Come in and step before the Lord and we pray until He comes down and tells them what to do. Doctors, statesmen, lawyers, congressmen, and everything else in the nation over. Even I've had doctors and male brothers say it. Not something just in your faith, friend. God. Because here's what the visions are. Now in these meetings, these evangelistic meetings, you don't see one tenth of it. Ask the brethren you go with me. See? These are just little, these are something that you do yourself. Now here, and I'll go back to my point. Excuse me for leaving it. But we're going to a carnival. And there's a great theater of circus, there's a big board fence around it. We don't know how to get over it, so we want to see what's on the inside. And there's no man in the world who wants to know where he come from, what he is, and where he's going. There's only one book that can tell you, and that's this. Well, who you are, where you come from, and where you're going. But every human being likes to look past the curtain to see what's on the other side. Well, we're going to do that now for a parable. And now, we go on, and I look at this brother, and I'm a stronger, great, strong-looking man, and he's a little skinny fellow. Well, I think that maybe he can do his part towards getting in to see the show of what's on the inside. Well, how am I going to do it? The first thing you know, I have to spy a knothole way up high. Now, he can't reach up there. But I can. So, but to do it, I have to reach down and jump real high, and I get a hold of this with my fingers and pull myself up and look through that knothole. Like, you know, they take the life out of you and hop down. What did you see, brother? A giraffe. Oh, he did. What else did you see? That's all I had time to see. I had to see all. Look, you can see something else. Now, you don't realize it, but that's you on the platform, and that's you sitting out there. You're the one that knocked the strength out of me. Last night, someone came and almost fell 4 or 5 times in here. And you know, people don't realize that. Do you read the Bible? Do you know if poets or prophets or so forth, they go into inspiration? Sometimes they don't even know where they're at. Did you ever read of Stephen Foster? Wrote the Old Kentucky Home, way down on the Suwannee River. Gave America's best folk song. He was considered in a riot. Every time he'd write a song, inspiration, then he'd go out and get on a drum. One time when he wrote, he'd come out every time a razor called a church and committed suicide. Cut his throat. Did you ever hear William Kepler? Certainly have. I stood by his grave recently and cried. He was considered in England a groupie guy, crazy. Anybody that's real spiritual, the science says, is just one stage away from insanity, from the world. So it's the human mind trying to cope with that mind there. You don't realize. No one will ever know this side of eternity, what it means. So then, and William Kepler following the day, you remember when he tried to even get in a cab and go commit suicide, come back out of a rope and tried to hang himself, and went out and tried to drown in the river, and wrote that famous song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." Look at the prophet Jonah. As soon as he came out of the belly of the whale and went and gave his prophecy, as long as the inspiration was only given his prophecy, he was fine. But when the inspiration left him, he sat on top of a mountain and prayed for God to take his life. The prophet Elijah, under a vision of the Lord, fixed it and called fire out of heaven, called rain out of heaven the same day, and killed 400 priests himself. And then when the inspiration left him, run at the threat of a woman and was 40 days and nights out in the wilderness, not even knowing where he was at, wandering around, and God's had him pulled back in a cave. Is that scripture? See, people don't realize it. You don't realize what these. You say, if I had a ministry like that, you won't get rid of it right quick. You don't realize what it does to you. It kills you. But if God has given it to you, critics laugh, make fun, and everything, and me standing right here, I don't know what they're thinking. I used to call it out and say everything, but when I did, I found out it hurt. Jesus said, let us go through the door, don't cross the carrier. That's God's time to get in to pull the carrier out. That's the end of the heart. Just let them alone. See? Go ahead. I've got a ministry to serve, and so God will serve, and I just do it the best I can, and then go on. But now, when you come to the platform, that's you that's doing that, like the woman cuts his garment. It's your own faith that does that. I have nothing to do with it. To me, I can do nothing. I've asked God for something over and over myself for the past 5 years, and he's wanting to say a word to me about it. My old mother was laying here dying and saying, son, what shall be my end? And my sweet old mother, I couldn't tell her until God tells me. See? He has to speak. I don't do the speaking of him. And it's not me that causes the vision here on the platform. That's my villain is with me. This week I have eaten nothing but crackers and milk. True. Fasting, waiting, seeing which way the Spirit will lead me. The boy at the door said, there's a big smartness board down here, Brother Van, how do you love go to smart? I said, I do, but not in healing services. Wait on the Lord. This comes out only by fasting and praying. There comes tomorrow night with cripples and hospital cases and dying people be sitting here. Be ready for it. You love people, and if you don't love people, you might as well get out of the ministry. That's all, because if your heart don't burn for them, I'd rather you say something good about my son than you say about me, because that's my son. If we can't love one another, how are we going to love God who we haven't seen? We must find the thing. We've got to love one another, though we differ. You've got to love anyhow. You can't bluff it. You've got to really do it. You got to, and that's the greatest power I've ever found in healing is love. And we have sympathy and love for the people, trying to help them. Sometimes I scold them and go back to the home and just say, Lord, what did I do it for? But it's because I love them. If I have to scold my little boy to run down on the street, he'll get killed if I don't get him off that street. Sometimes I have to whip him, crack him, say, son, stay over that street. Not because I don't love that child, it's because I do love them. That's what God has to do to us. Scold us and shake us. Make us a real truth. A person that asks his child to do anything is not a good parent. That's right. There's too much of that in America today. And we need the old-fashioned mother. Now, someone comes to the platform, a lady. Here I am. I've got myself relaxed. And she comes up, who is she? I've never seen her. I don't know. What is she? I don't know. Oh, God, I'm depending on you now all day long, I pray. What is it, Lord? Step across this Bible here. God, there's your word. You made the promise. Between me and that woman stands your word, your spirit, your somewhere. God, maybe one thing, it might set this whole building afire. Maybe the Holy Spirit has come in, ward off all the unbelief tonight. There's nothing in here but what's going to believe me. Everything's going to believe because I preach it just as simple as I can, and they've read the Bible and know it's the truth and a promise for this day. Surely they will, Lord. Then trying to relax myself, talk. The first thing, you know, what am I doing? Reaching up. Reaching up. Find out what kind of faith that woman's got. Finally, find she's got faith. What does it do? It touches. Then between her and I see it. And where I'll go? Here, up, up, up. Grab it. You have tumor. Yes, sir. You turn towards the audience. You guess that. See? Well, that's mental telepathy. Dr. Jones said it was so-and-so. Oh, that's mind reading. There you are. Again. Well, what can you see? You look out there. Here says this and that one. Up here, down there, his back there. God wants you. Well, Lord, you had to go through the same thing. Now, what else is wrong with it? Here you go again. You're already fingers aching as it was hanging on there, and now your heart's aching. Okay? And up you go again. In the God bless you, got TV, you were at a doctor the other day, and he told you you was a tall man. You read their mind. Isn't that strange? Even Christians say, well, I suppose it's all right. Now, after all that one passes by, here's another one, man, you're just about sagged out. Here's another one. Well, there stands a whole line of them. If you don't get every one of them, boy, they never got to pay for it. Something wrong. See, I'm trying to use a prophetic gift in an evangelistic service. That's the reason it don't work so well. It does in Africa, it does anywhere else but the United States. Anywhere else but here, it'll work. It doesn't here. People just don't get it. I don't know why, but they don't. That's one thing that happened in Africa. Thousands will rush to the altar, scream and cry, and step out of the wheelchair if they had to crawl or anything else. They believe God, that's all. They get it. But we've been indoctrinated with so many different isms and so many different things. Somebody says it's this, somebody says it's that. And he belongs to another church. He's not one of us. He's a holy Lord. He might be a medium. He might be a devil. He, see, and all that, that just breathes up. Then somebody says, I'll get out of here right now. Oh. See? Now, how can you have a meeting under that? You let me ask you something. Throw this audience of one card with one face one time. Let me guarantee you in the name of the Lord, there won't be a wheelchair left in here for what people be walking. You just try sometimes and find out. I've seen 25,000 gotten wheelchairs, stretchers, everything else in the walk. Look, you've got a ministry anyhow. This is a nation that's got the money to send me out of the head, got money to bring me. I ain't got no big backup on me. I have to just depend on God. You have mercy. Do something. Wherever you lead me, I'll go. And that's what I do. Now, perhaps maybe the rainmaster comes by now. What are you boys looking at? We were looking in, sir. Oh, well, come here. He's a great big fellow. Reaching down, picking up into his hand. So now I'll tell you how this goes, Brother Graham. You see that shoe over there? Yeah, now that's where the garment ride starts there. They come out here and they ride around this way. They come through here and they do this and this does this and this that. Oh, yes, sir. Setting the palm of his hand. And this is this and this is this. Setting me out at the grandstand, you know, show me everything's going to happen. Oh, I say, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Now, you be a good boy. Thank you, sir. Why ask what you see? Oh, bless God. See, I'm not tired. See? He is lifting me up to show me. Now, that you using God's gift or God using his own gift. See? Now, you say, is that scriptural? Yes, brother. A woman touched his garment one time and he said, I got weak. Is that right? But one day when he was in the home of Martha and Mary, and then he God showed him, he said he'd done nothing until the Father showed him. And God showed him that Lazarus was going to die. So he said, you go away and there's a little sand for me. I believe that. He said, go away and after 4 days you go to die and then you go back and you wake him, go to the grave and wake him and so forth because he had to die with her, so didn't he told something wrong? So he went and they sent for him. Did he go back? Your friend Lazarus is sick, ready to die. You know what the Father told him, said he's wrong. They said again, Lazarus sick, come see him right quick, he's going to die. He just went on. If you'd sent your pastor, he didn't come, you went and joined the next church. That's the reason you don't get nowhere. You've got to believe you're the servant God sent you. If he's led of the Spirit, let him alone. Then, after 4 days, Jesus turned around, walked up to the Father, wrote out and told him, because he's sick. He didn't have to the Father's story. He turned around and said to his disciples, he knew the time was fulfilled. He said, I plan to have this asleep. Oh, he said, it's good. Well, he said, then he told him the wrong name. He said, it's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. So, he said, well, I'll go with him. And when he got to the grave, this is what he said. I thank thee, Father, that I have already been saved. But I just say thee, this for those who stand by. I said it for their sake to see. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. He never said a thing about getting weak, did he? That was God using his gift. Yeah, there was a woman using his gift. You see the difference? You understand now? That's what it is. It's you that's doing it. Now, in the interviews and so forth, you have times where the Holy Spirit, like saying this morning before a young couple, how it went down through their life, picks it up and brings it back, and minor, famous doctor sitting in the room recently and asked me about a certain thing. I said, will you pray with me? He said, I will, sir. We knelt down and prayed. I said, now you're studying of building a clinic and there's a certain thing fixed to happen. And you looked at a certain place to build this clinic. You said they couldn't touch it for 25 years. God said, thus saith the Lord, doctor. He said, do you think the city needs a clinic? I said, yes, sir, it needs a clinic. I think you're a fine doctor, so you go in. He said, it can't be that old. It can't be there. So that one false that report. He said, you can't build it there. I said, it'll be built out of red brick. It'll have a light roof on it. It'll almost be a 6 o'clock on. It'll be there, and your name will be on the front of it. I saw it. Thus saith the Lord. He said, I want you to believe that, sir. I said, you remember when you sent me that man not long ago that didn't even have any liver half of it eat out that minister? That morning I saw those five apples come down and a big healthy apple eat up the unhealthy apple. And I told you, thus saith the Lord, he lived. And he said, how can you live without liver in you? I said, he's preaching. He took my place at the Milltown Baptist Church. I said, he's still there. He said, oh, I remember Reverend William Hall, Milltown Baptist Church. I said, he's still there. I said, about 5 years ago, I said, your clinic will be there. He said, I hope you're right. And I said, oh. I said, he's always right. And so the next morning he called me up, he said, Brother Branham, I said, he said, I'm freezing to death. And he said, did you run? I said, freezing to death. He said, sure, there's going to go me. He said, they had a meeting in Boston last night, but all the visitors of that place, they quit me. It ain't going to be 25 years. You probably said, I bought the place already this morning. There's a clinic right there. In St. Louis, just recently, a great medical meeting, he made a speech and he told that. Got a sign that was sticking on his door, engraved in bread. He said, if anybody ever doubts any physician, have him to call me Clay. That's him. Oh, you see, friends, it's not nothing. The thing of it is, you can't wake yourself up. That's all. You can't wake yourself up to the reality of what it is. You children and you people here in this field, you know how I can help you out when you do it. You know. God bless your heart, I accept you with it. But you're the more, to heal a person in a wheelchair is the more heal one's heart, brother. And the greatest thing you ever done was save a man's soul to change his whole disposition. Or you just think you're bound for all the time. You're not. No. I've seen tens of thousands of wheelchairs of people healed out of that. And I know. And it is true. Someone said it, my grandma's bad. I remember in Fort Wayne not long ago, I was preaching at D.E. Rediger where his daughter had been healed of insanity. A few days ago, there I go again. So many things to say. An insane girl that was going through the morgue and the Catholic school wouldn't even let me in. I went in as a visitor, spoke to the girl a few minutes. I said, poor father, I used to go with the girl's mother. I said, thus saith the Lord. She has the right mind. Her mother grabbed me around the waist and she said, look to her husband. She said, he's never wrong. I said, now she didn't mean me. She missed the Spirit of the Lord. About 2 hours after that, the father called me up weeping. He said, Brother Brown, I don't know what to say. His daughter was just only 18 years old, teacher of music. And plays at an old church and so forth, same studies that my daughter would say. He said, I don't know what to say. He said, that girl instantly comes to herself and these doctors are holding a council right now. Says she's going home with us this afternoon. I said, oh, I'm blessed up in the country. I said, shh, tell no one. Go ahead, thank God and move on. You just keep going on. He's wonderful if you'll just believe him. One more little thing to you people. Just because that we're in the meeting and you accept your healing, it don't happen right away. Don't pay attention to that. It will happen if you've got enough faith to believe it'll happen. There was a woman coming to the meeting one night. She passed through. She had stomach trouble. The Holy Spirit said to her, you are Mrs. So-and-so. You came from a certain place that you have a stomach trouble. And said, what it is, it's a duodenal ulcer. Said it's very dangerous. And the doctor says that you might hemorrhage with it sometime because you didn't want to operate. I said, but you're afraid of the operation, and therefore you're not able to eat anything hard at all. It just broths and stiffens like a bullion and so forth. She said, that's right. And she said, is she right, Mr. Brown? I said, certainly your doctor's right. And I said, the reason is because it was caused by tension. You're under such a tension all the time. She said, I have been a nervous child. I looked at her, and I see her sitting down by a nice big steak eating, you know, and eat a piece of apple pie. That's what I saw in the vision. I said, but thus saith the Lord. Watch what it says. See, you're the one that's making it say this, but look what it says behind it. That's the thing, see. You say, you got cancer, you know that. But see what he says about that cancer, see. That's when you're watching. So then, and told her. So she said, I'm going out to eat. So she went out to eat. And a little bit behind that come a lady that had a big growth on her throat. And the Holy Spirit told her, that growth shall leave you, thus saith the Lord. So they had to be neighbor with him. And so the next day she tried to eat, and oh my, she like to die. And so she tried for 2 or 3 days, and she just vomit and gagged, and blood fly out of her mouth and everything. And after about a week, her husband, being a Christian, and he said, honey, said, you're bringing reproach upon the cause. Said, you mustn't say things like that. She started crying. She said, hubby, listen. She said, that man did never see me in his life. And by some sort of a power that I believe was the Holy Spirit, according to what I read in this Bible, he told me what my trouble was, who I was, exactly through the letter, and told me that thus saith the Lord, that I be well. She said, until that time comes, I'm going to be acting like it. Good. Good. So he said, go ahead, burst it off, and then you'll bleed to death. She just went on. Well, he didn't have it. It never happened to him, it happened to her. It wasn't his faith, it was hers. Well, about 2 months passed. Nothing happened. One morning, the children had left to go to school, and she was washing the dishes, and she was singing. And as you watch, she had the funniest feeling come on. She said, she come testify of it. So the funniest feeling went over. She got real hungry at me. She said, well, the children left some oats in their plate. You know, I guess mothers do that. And so she got a little bit of oats and ate it, and she thought, well, she usually vomit with it. So she got a little oats and she ate it, and that toast looks so good, she's taking a bite of toast, some of the kids in there. So she went on a few minutes, and she's still hungry, getting vomit. So she just poured it out. Stirred them up, eat a piece of toast. Went on washing, she just got fine, fixing her house around. She got real hungry again. So she just went and fried her 2 eggs and some bacon, and got a cup of coffee, and had a gastronomical meal. She just really got ready for it. So she just ate all she could. Waited about till about 10 o'clock. Nothing else, she's getting hungry again. So she thought, oh, praise God. She said, I'm going down and tell my neighbor. And when she got down there, she heard someone screaming and crying. So she knocked the door and shut the door. Nobody answered. She thought maybe somebody had died. And so she ran into the house real quick and heard this woman with a sheet in her hand shake it like that and scream at the top of her voice. And she said, what's the matter? She said, you know what? She said, last night I was standing before the mayor looking at that knot on the neck. Now look, it's gone. She said, I saw every sheet or every half time I had the time. And I woke up this morning and I've got their names and address. See? Documented a statement. And he went, well, when that angel of God, now anybody that's a Bible student knows that sometimes that God does not come out on the scene when he should come, and we think he should. Remember Daniel prayed in 21 days before the angel could get to him. Is that right?
Amen.
All right. How many know that?
Yes,
what happened? The very angel of God that made the promise. Not me now. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know. But the thus saith the Lord, it takes him almost 2 months when he was passing through the neighborhood confirming that word that he had spoken. Glory to God. If that ain't the same God of the Bible, I don't know what I have. That happened tens of hundreds of times, friends. So what am I saying that for? Building your faith for tomorrow night's healing service. I want you to, it won't bless. You can't bless the devil. Remember when Jesus gave his church, right? He gave his church power in 2 Matthew, the 10th chapter, and cast out devils, healed the sick, and the lepers, raised the dead. Is that right? Now I want somebody who doesn't believe in divine healing, show me by the scripture where he ever took that power away from the church. I want the chapter, the book, and the verse.
Amen.
Where did he give that power?
to all the world.
Amen.
Now you tell me where he said, I made a mistake, I got to take it back.
That's right. Amen.
Show it to me. Sound crazy. It's not in God's word. Now, it isn't where you're looking at, my cynical friend, is this. You're looking at the weakness, you're looking at what the people is doing about it. But don't look at that, that's what God said about it. That's it. You're looking the wrong way. You're cross-eyed. See? And the man's cross-eyed don't know which way he's going. See? So you look single-eyed at God, what God said, not what people's doing about it, what the seminary said, but what God said.
Amen.
If this isn't the Word of God, then you're going to get something that is the Word of God. The one who preaches, the Catholic priest has to be so smart. He's got 600 books that he has to learn that just as sacred as that Bible. 600 other Bibles, right? The other man who wrote books that he's got to learn. Smart, there's no way to keep up with him. Talk about when it comes to intellectual, but God won't use that at all. That's foolishness. The humility of believing in Jesus Christ. Makes it even a fool should not have him. Now look here, Jesus in Matthew 10 had given them power to heal the sick. They went out to cast out devils, come back rejoicing and so forth. And 10 days after that time, they were totally defeated on epilepsy. That's right. I can imagine here Andrew say, step back, boy. Surely you can do it. Let me show you how I've done it with the friend. Boy, just get on in the fast. And I hear Peter say, ah, remember, you all don't know. Let me show you how I've done it at a job. Hey, let me have you. Oh, the Lord will say, this is what you're doing. This is all that you're doing. Not because they didn't have power. I lost. Next time, they're coming down off the mountain. I see him come walking. Imagine. Bible said there's no beauty we should design, maybe a little stoop-shouldered fellow. But when he come walking up to where he was, that father ran and said, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything for him. He said, will you help? And he said, I can if you believe. For all things are possible to him to believe.
Yes.
He said, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Brother, when that devil walked in the face of him, he knew he met him on a different level than what his disciples had. It's come out of him. And the boy fell and had the worst city ever had. Then he straightened out and said to him, they said, he's dead. He's not dead. Take him out. Disciples come along and said, now listen, here's the modern day. Well, Lord, I guess you took all that power away from us. The church don't have power anymore. Well, so why couldn't we cast him out? Said, of your unbelief.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
The church still has the power. You Methodists here, you got that power. You Baptists, Presbyterians, Nazarenes, still Demonists, but you're afraid to use it. That's all.
What good would you do if we have a fine hunting gun laying on the wall afraid to shoot it?
I'd never get any game, I'm sure. Well, I might make a whole lot of pistols and have some backfires and not handle very good for the genes.
But I'm shooting anyhow.
I'm trying off the heart.
Yes, sir. So you will do that.
That's how it takes the Lord. If we believe it.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads now. Lord Jesus, sometimes we talk like children and we're glad to be that. For if we know so much, you can't lead us no more. But as long as we're children, you forgive us of our ignorance, and we just trust your hand. Sometimes we scream and shout and carry on because, Father, we're children. We don't depend on our own ability. We're just happy that we have a Father that watches over us. We're so happy for this. Lord, there are people here that are sick, afflicted, some of them are saved, some are not saved, some believe they're saved and not, some are, they're just all kinds, Father, it's all mixed up. Will you help us tonight that we could have one
one great mammoth mass healing tomorrow, grand tomorrow. May there be such an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll just grant it in such a way so there will not be a feeble person left in the building. Grant it. Now we're going to open back the pages of the Word. Now I can not open this book, or no one can, only physically with my hands. Let the Holy Spirit open it and interpret to us a few words that would build our faith in such a way that all of the unbelief would fade away from us. And we'd be perfectly satisfied with a pure, unadulterated faith in God that He heals the sick, He saves the lost. If there's any sin in our midst, Lord, take it away, please, Lord. And let us sanctify ourselves tonight through the faith in the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask it in His name. Amen. I hear just talking to you, and it's time to close. I've got quite a few scriptures there I've written down here. I'd like to refer to them. I might not get to any of them. But for a way of context, and I won't be too long, honest, I hope I'm not, but I'm just want to read from the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse. This is a question of three letters I'm going to ask the audience tonight. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now I'm going to ask the question like God did, why? W-H-Y. Why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Pardon me. Now, that is quite a statement. But I believe that if God makes a way for anything, makes a way of escape, makes a way for it, and the people doesn't receive it, doesn't walk in it, then he has a right to ask why. If you went and bought your boy a car, you said, Junior, I do not want you to go to any pool room. Your father and mother, we're a Christian home. I don't want you smoking cigarettes. I don't want you going to dances with these modern dances where they drink and things. We are Christians here, Junior, and you'll bring a reproach upon our home and upon the cause that we stand for. And I'll be real good to you, Junior. Daddy works hard, so I'm going to slave away till I save enough money to buy you a little car, because you can go to school in it, you insist, and just be nice. I'll get you nice clothes. And then you find out that Junior is smoking and drinking and going to places. Then you've got a right to ask that boy, why? Because you made every way for him to have pleasure and to take his little car and go fishing and so forth and go out riding. And then you'd have a right as a father to ask him, why did you do it? Is that right, buddy? Then if God made some way for his people to escape and get away from the wrath that's fixing to come, and they don't receive it, then he's got a right to ask, why didn't they do it? I landed in Bombay, India here some time ago. I was reading a piece of paper. I still have it, or I beg your pardon. Tommy Nichols has it now coming out in Christian businessman's voice. It says, the earthquake must be over. Now, India isn't rich people like you are in America. Now, the foreign people really think that as long as you're an American, you're rich. Well, that is right, according to them. But according to the status they have to live in. But they have their fences where they pick up rocks, like we did in early America, make their fences. Their idle homes are built out of rock and mud. But one day, they come, a strange thing happens. And all the little birds that lived in these rocks along the fences and in the big towers all flew away from their nests and left it. Just evacuated their nests. And the cattle and sheep that when the day got hot, they'd feed early in the morning and late in the evening. But instead of, and then in the heat of the day, they come and stand in the shadows with this fence to keep cool. But instead of that, they run right out in the middle of the field and all leaned against one another. Cattle, sheep, animals. And the people wondered what strange action this is. 2 days it happened. All of a sudden an earthquake blew the country. And walls fell in. The earthquake shot 4 or 5 different times for maybe 2 days. They had earthquake after earthquake. Finally, the little birds begin to fly back into their nest, the places that was left. The cattle come back around what walls was left. What was it? The same God that warned the birds and the animals to go into the ark for safety showed he is the same God today. He warned his animals to flee and to get away from those great walls that was fixing to fall. Now, if God can do that by instinct to an animal, how much more should we who claim to be his children, filled with the Holy Ghost, be warned of the Spirit to flee these things from the world? They're fixing to crumble in. Go to the ark of safety, which is Christ. Just as quick as you can get into him, go quickly. Don't wait a minute. For the hour is coming when the door will be closed and mercy will be no more. So, if God has made a way, and then if the judgment, he's going to ask why. I used to know a song we sang. When the last book is open, what then? When the preacher has preached his last prayer, or prayed his last prayer, something like that, the Bible's closed on the pulpit, the arms are all sacked, the taps sound out for its last time, go kneel, the retreats are made, the sun setting for its last time, the mimic has made his last act, and Hollywood is finished. What then? You're going to be asked to give a reason why you didn't come. Then what then? What's going to answer for? How are you going to escape it? Now we want to think these things seriously for about 30 minutes as I try to refer to some scriptures here. Now, you're going to be asked every one of you why. When it comes to a spot that when God has made every preparation that the Holy Spirit and revealed and showed everything that he promised in the Bible right before you, then what are you going to do? You know, it's something like the other day in Louisville, Kentucky, there was a woman had a little baby, and she was passing around from place to place, and was in a 10-cent store, and she'd say, "Look, darling, look, darling, look, darling," and she got hysterically. And that's why she said, "Oh," she screamed out, and the people, the patrons in the building, began to notice that strange act in that woman. And she just fell across the table and began crying. And when they wondered what was the matter with her, they went over. She said, "My little boy here, 2 years old, said about 6 months ago, he just sat and stared. And said, I took him to the doctor. There's nothing that should attract a little boy like him will attract him. Said he just sits and looks blank. And said, I shake these little trinkets and things that also attract his attention, but he just sits blank. There's something wrong with him. Now, please forgive me if I don't mean to hurt feelings, but remember, this is for correction. This is judgment. That's the whole lot like the church is today. God has shut all kinds of spiritual gifts before them, and they still look like they were just there. They don't know. You can speak against women wearing short hair. They never seen anything about it. About wearing a few more dress. They never seen anything about it. About fussing in the denomination. One's better than this, and this one's this, and this one's this. They never seen anything about it. These corrupt fussing, it's the same. I wonder what they're going to do at the judgment when God says, "What?" Amen. Instead of old Robert the Tommy
from him, spoken tongues and interpretation of tongues, and give messages and prophets and everything else that he promised in the Bible, that was blessing, he shook it before the church, and constantly it lay on the unbelief.
That's right.
Then God will say, wow!
Yes,
and what's your answer? I quit. Don't make a kind of hurt, but put that man in his wheelchair. Look out there at the sickness. As many times as all writers and many great ministers of healing gifts and jack coals and things with that bulldog, then grabbing a hold of it, and you see things done. Then he comes along with prophetic gifts and shoulders and burdens and laying battle fruits world around. And you say, well, I want to talk to him. God's going to ask you why. And you're going to have to answer.
Yes, amen.
Now, that's true.
Yes.
Now, one time there was a king, his name was Ahaziah. He was the son of Jezebel and Ahab. And he took his father's place in Samaria when Ahab was killed, according to the prophets. And the dogs licked his blood, just exactly what the prophet had said would take place. And Ahaziah took his place. And he was a renegade, just like his father, his mother. And one day he was walking through the lattice of his house, perhaps the same lattice as the Queen of Sheba, or some of in her days, when they built the temple of Solomon. And he fell through that lattice and hurt himself and got sick. And he sent up to Ekron to Beelzebub, a devil. Sent two men up there, a group of men, said, go up and consult and ask Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, if I am going to get well, yes or no. And God sent an angel down to the old Elisha, sitting out there in a little cave door. He said, go up and meet him. God knows when to stand and when not to. He said, go up and meet him and tell him thus saith the Lord. And old Elijah walked sturdily up there and stood in the room when he seen him come up. He said, you're on your road over to Ephraim, over there to meet the Beelzebub, to meet the prophets, to consult whether Ahaz is going to get well or not. They go back and tell him, why did you do that? Is it because there's no God in Israel? Is it because there's no prophet there? Why would you go to a thing like that then? Go pay God, pay the Lord. He's not come off that day. Oh my, that's God. What's the matter? That we change our papers from Methodists to Baptists to Presbyterians, all other different denominations and things going on. Why do we do these things? Why do we sing all over this night, what we love since here? Some of them plays and television programs and things like that. Is it because there is no God in Pentecost? Is it because there's no power in the house anymore? Is it because there's no prophet there? Is it because these things are not so?
Yes.
If there's no position there, is there no bond in here? Bond of healing. Then why is the daughter of my people still sick? That's why. Why do we do these things? Why do we act like the world? Why do the women still dress like the world? Why do our pastors let deacons come in with two or three different wives and serve on the deacon boards? Why are we going like the world and begin to act like the world and talk like the world? And why are we doing it? Is it because? Why do we have to bring bill strides of worth millions and millions of dollars in preaching Jesus who's coming in the next few days? Missionaries on the field with no shoes on their feet, living on 1 year a day. Why would we go up on the oasis and stuff like that? And missionaries don't know how to have shoes on their feet. That is God. We'll answer for it someday. God wants to say, ah!
Right.
Mother, every time I hand you a little baby, this little belly swell that big down to hunger.
We try to want to keep up with the Joneses. God's going to ask us why. Now, our great organizations building tens of millions of dollars worth of buildings and things like that, and preaching Jesus and coming to their own testimony, Jesus in the face of the word. No, we don't believe what we're talking about. Just become a routine around and around and around. The Father says what we say it too. If you really believe it, act like it. If you believe in the divine healing, accept him. If you believe the Holy Ghost is right, thank you. Don't take those substitutes. Say that's what the real thing is there. So you pass from death to life, and the brothers of birds of saints, different everybody, all the ones you hate, and you'll probably, everything will be different when you do it. Why don't we substitute something instead of it? God will say, why? And then we're going to have to answer. Now that is right, brother. You believe that. Amen. Now that's where we're standing. We should be a church on fire with faith, brother, burning. Instead of that, we're really like a bunch of little coyotes back up in the corner. Well, I believe it. I don't know you're back it up. Stand up there, talk to us. Amen. Consolidate with some other of our denominations, our Methodist brethren, you know, our Baptist brethren, our Presbyterian, or won't you all go back to Catholic? That's the oldest one of the bunch of them. Go back and be that, but if we're Pentecostal, let's be Pentecostal by experience. Shake yourself.
Oh, yes.
To go tell him what's the matter. Why would the Pentecostal people? A girl asked me and they said, Brother Bam, they begin to wear sandal skirts. I said, what's that? Oh, she said, the girl's wearing skirts that's cut down this way that shows her underskirt. Do you think it's wrong for a girl to do that? I said, sister, what in the world does a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled girl want to show her underskirt for? If she had been right with God, she wouldn't have had to ask that. I've got a little Bible. When I first started out, a little book, there should be somebody say, is it wrong to smoke? Is it wrong to drink? Is it wrong to so and so? Like that. I said, don't ask me foolish questions. Make this up in your mind. If you love the Lord with all your heart, you don't smoke, chew, or drink any shine. And that, I still stand by that. When the love of God's in your heart, you've got no time for nothing else. You're sold out.
That's the glory.
The Bible says if you love the world, all the things of the world, it's because the love of God's not even in you. And your own flesh tells about it. I hope that's plain enough. I won't have to get any plainer. But that's true. By the fruits you know that. So shake ourselves. Let's be Pentecostal or it'd be something else. We're not Pentecostal. Let's quit saying we are. Until we get back to the real Pentecostal experience. Get back to faith. Daring faith. Then disciples sealed their death with their faith. Oh, faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon flame or sword. That's what we want, real, genuine faith. You Methodists need it. You Baptists need it. You Pentecostals need it. All of us need it. God's going to say, why? Is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And why? Is there no prophet in Israel? Is there no God there? Has Pentecostal lost their God? Don't they have any more gifts than amongst Pentecostal? Have any more prophets, gifts of prophecy, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists? No one else to speak in tongues and give message? One thing, you don't reverence them gifts enough. Another thing, you don't prove them first. Then you get every kind of spirit in there speaking. When you get that spirit and don't say something, it's right. Get it out of there. You don't want to substitute. God's got a real one for you. Some man speaks in tongues and ready. It's a message to the church. Everybody keep still at God speaking. And listen, see if it's not in the church, then it's in the flesh. If it's come to the church and it doesn't come to pass, then that's a foul, evil spirit called God won't lie.
That's it. That's right.
And you'll have your church setting in order. See? But the way it is, just let it fly loose anywhere, and somebody chewing gum, another eating popcorn, one talking, another whispering, somebody trying to speak in tongues three or four at a time, and listen, trying, and, oh my. It becomes a Corinthian affair again. Lord, get it back in order, back with the Holy Spirit. Test that gift. You say, oh, Brother Ben, can we test that gift? Well, Brother, it has to be tested out here, don't it? That's right. Don't be afraid of this God. It's right. 100% right. Talking to the man, the editor, Bob, what's his name, like Christian Life? You done it? Not Bob Schuler. He's the Methodist brother. I know him real well, but I can't think of his name. It's like Christian Life, Walker. He comes to Indianapolis, and he said, Brother Branham, what about the Pentecostals? He said, they do this and do that. I said, and what about the rest of them? They do the same thing. But many times their members are in the paper, without the edges of the paper, and they don't hear about it. But I said, well, they do just as bad. But I said, sometimes somebody does get off of the wrong end. And then what do you all do? You jump from across the real thing and pull over to that. And this over on this side, that real wildfire, a port, come back over to Old Cole Farm. I said, it's right in the middle of the road goes the genuine Holy Ghost, the church, boy. That old Cole Farm was on one side, and Raddick's on the other side. It's off falls from the real thing. Isaiah said in 35th chapter, there shall be a highway. You Nazarenes call it the highway of holiness. You're wrong. Not disputing your word. But said, there shall be a highway and the conjunction.
That's
right. There shall be a highway and a way, and it shall be called not the highway, but the way of holiness.
Yes,
in the middle of the road. Dr. Weed, I know you're sitting there, but I know he's a darling brother, a precious friend of mine. I was preaching on that one time. Brother Weed got up and said, you know what, Brother Dibbert, I guess all of you know Brother Dibbert, he's my cousin, the biggest Finley, as Evan's doing, yeah. We had a man sitting on the other side, he said, Brother Brand, talk about the middle of the road. So that's not good driving ethic. So I had been standing behind me, didn't know it. I said, you see, Brother Weed, just how earthy you can get, you Finley, brother. He's a precious brother. And the Sim is one of my great sponsors. So I said, you see, you just think about the earthly things so much and get in such a twist. So all you can think about is just the things of the earth. I said, sure, right on earth, that's that ethic. But this road I'm talking about, you don't come back. It's just a one way ticket. How many of those do I mean? He's one of the finest men that you can get. He's been a real brother to me. And so there you are. But God's going to ask us why. Ask the king why. Now, it wasn't because they didn't have a prophet that he could consult. No, no. No, sir. He could have went and consulted the prophet of God. It wasn't because there was no God in Israel. Sure, the God of Israel would have told the prophet about the king. But it was the king's own stubborn way. And that's what's the matter with the nations today in the world. It's not because we haven't got a God, but science is trying to root him out of the picture. And the people are too stubborn to stand up on the principles of God's Word. That's right. They say, oh, that's a bunch of holy rollers. Let it be whatever it may be. I've traveled the world over several times. I've never seen a holy roller yet. There's 969 different organizations the church has recorded in Washington, and there's not one of them called Holy Rollers. That's a dirty name that the devil put on the church. There's no such a thing as Holy Roller. No such an organization is called Holy Rollers. They call anybody that believes in holiness Holy Rollers. And if without holiness, no man shall see God. So you see where the essence of it comes from. Yeah. All right. The king, he was just stubborn. He didn't want to listen to the prophet. They had a prophet. They had God. But the king was too stubborn. That's the way it is today. People are too selfish. They talk about divine healing, they'd rather lay out there and die than even to admit they believe in divine healing. People would rather, it's just like a man dying on the doctor's doorstep because he won't take his medicine. The doctor's got the toxin for the disease he's got, and the man will sit on the doorstep, the doctor's got plenty of toxin, but he won't take it. Just too stubborn to go in and take it, he'll die. He ought to. So then, if you feel that way about it, it's not because the doctor, go lay on to the doctor. If the doctor's got the toxin and willing to give it, and the patient sitting on the doorstep is too stubborn to come in to take it, don't lay it on to the doctor. It's not the doctor's fault, neither is it the toxin. It's the patient's fault. Won't take it. The same thing it is in the church. We've got plenty of balm in Gilead. And we got a physician here. But people die in the pews and sin without the Holy Ghost because they're too stubborn to come to it. And they're afraid it'll hurt their social pressures. It'll break them down. Might cost a little of their card parties and names. Afraid they might cut up a little and act unruly. No, don't blame the doctor. Don't blame the remedy. Just blame the patient for not taking the remedy. That's where it's at. We got toxins. We got plenty. The world's full of the Holy Ghost. This is everywhere. We got physicians, brothers, that know how to give the medicine. But the people won't take it. Oh, they say, I'm Presbyterian. That don't need no more than Paul would be able to wear a side saddle and a stable of a racehorse. That don't have nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostal organization, and you just don't mean that to God. You must be born again. Dying in the church pews. Not because there's no toxin, any toxin, but it's because they refuse to take it. Now, you know what? If you refuse to take the doctor's medicine, it's dangerous. You might die. If you don't take the doctor's toxin, you might die. And that's dangerous to not take it. Like the salt vaccine. Like the smallpox. When I go overseas, they give me so many shots out of like a guinea egg to get into the places where they just shots of yellow fever and all kinds of toxins. It says keep you from taking it. I didn't want to take it, but you have to take it anyhow. So that's why you say, Brother Ben, do you believe in medicines? Well, sure. Certainly, they're God-given things. We believe that. But that ain't what heals you. What if we didn't have health and hygiene? What would we have? The way the people that's accumulated on earth today and how many things? If the hospital is not of God, then burn the thing down. It's Antichrist. See? Sure, but it is of God, but they don't do no healing. They're just a place to keep you away and to help you, try to keep you clean while you... If you're ever healed, God heals you. Famous doctor, I wouldn't call his name, he said, Billy, you come in here, and the first thing that a horse doctor has to have more sense than we do. But he asked, oh, where the horse is sick at? He said, you come in and say, what's the matter with you? He said, you tell me what's wrong. He said, I'm in a hurry, I'll write you a little prescription. He said, you know what his name's on there? The druggist, he paid for this. He said, I'll charge you $10, you go over and get it filled, he'll go back and fill it and charge you $3 for something he paid 2 cents for. Said, you take it for 3 or 4 days, says, the Lord has to heal you. By that time you come back to my office, I'll charge you $5 more if they go and get it and feed it again. There you are. It's God that heals. Now, I'm not condemning a good doctor. God knows that. Now, I say this one thing. Let me stop a minute. I have found more doctors believing in divine healing than I have preachers. Right. I went from hospital to hospital. A famous doctor had me go to an old man the other day, an old doctor that I ain't got time to tell you, that's 80 years old, been unconscious for 2 weeks. Brother Goldier knows of the case. That belongs to the same club, shooting club, that I just went into a few days ago. No, Dr. Brenner, a famous one of the best doctors there is in the South. Said, Brother Brenner, when you come over, just have a word with the old man. He's been unconscious. And one of us holding his hand, he comes in and said, hello, doctor. I said, I'm not a doctor. I said, I'm Brother Brenner. He said, well, man, I must have been asleep here about 3 weeks. I said, I guess, doctor, how long have you been practicing medicine? So how old are you? I said, 52 years old. He said, before you were nursing. And I said, I guess so many nights you've had a flashlight down along the creek bank, the old country doctor, down along the creek bank trying to find some baby with a bellyache or a mother in labor. And he said, not a flashlight, a lamb. And I said, I guess you then you didn't get nothing for it. Maybe you set the eggs or something. Said, no, I didn't expect nothing. And I said, well, you know what I think, Doc? You believe in God. He said, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. And I said, you know what I think? I said, over in the glory land, they must have a little place over the corner where all them good old doctors have helped so many times. He started crying. I said, now I'm getting excited. He said, no, stay right here. My doctor standing there, a friend of mine standing there, wringing his hands, crying. Standing back in the corner. That's where he said, I'm not going to get my life. He said, what did you do to him? I said, I've never done one thing but put my hand on him. God-fearing old man. He said, no. I held his hand. I said, guess you can't perform many operations, Doc. He said, I never picked up a knife before I asked my Creator to help me and guide us. I said, you may be 86 years old, but if I had to have operation, I'd want them same hands to perform it. Right? I said, there must be a little place over there in heaven where he at. He said, Brother Brandon, you think he'll let me do? I said, I think so. He started crying. I hugged him up. Here he was down on the range, and there's a big old musket standing there. I said, why did he hit that target, boys? He's back practicing, 86 years old. Right? Oh, yeah. They got real man in there. And they got some renegades, too. And don't hide it then, because we got some other renegades that call themselves reverend. Exactly right. So, sauce for the goose is for the gander. Yes, sir. A man's got toxin and salt vaccine for these little children, not polio. I pray daily that God will send us something for cancer. If we can't have faith, let's get something else. Faith is the first. Let's take the next best. If we can't get that, look at the world and the conditions in poor suffering humanity. Help everybody you can. Everything that helps is of God. Let's help. Let's do everything we can and pray for man. The thing to do, brother, is get our arms together, both medicine, doctors, hospitals, nurses, churches, all together, and put our faith in God and God would have asked us why we didn't do it some of these days. Remember, Luke was a doctor, too. Now, God never condemned him for being a doctor, but you remember, he wrote the great stories of healing. It was surprising to him to see what God could do. He was the one who wrote them. Treatise of Theopius, I wrote to you, and so forth like that. Jesus and Nazareth, what they all begin to do and say. He knew what Jesus was. Now, people dying in the pew because they refuse the remedy. It is a serious thing to refuse that. But how much more serious is it to refuse God's bond? What is God's bond? The Holy Ghost.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's the cure for sin. You might refuse the toxin of the doctor, and you might go ahead and live an ordinary hour, week or two, or die out and go on. You might do that, you might shorten your days. But if you refuse God's toxin, you'll die eternally. You'll be completely separated from God in mercy for eternity. So don't you never, is there no bond in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then what's the matter with the daughter of my people that they can't believe in divine healing no more? Is it because it's not taught? No. What's the matter then? What's the matter with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? To quit teaching? No. Do people get it? Yeah. Well, is there plenty of bond? Whosoever will let him come. Drink from the fountain, gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit. Calling whosoever will, physician standing there to pass you to it. And why don't you come? Then God says, why? Why did you? What are you trying to do, Brother Brown? Shake a faith into a people that they'll realize. Is there no bomb in Gilead? Now, I want to ask you something. The reason they got the issue is because they're afraid of the new birth. That's what it is. Oh, we Americans are so stylish, you know.
Oh, my.
So much we just got to put on the, what we call the dog. Yeah. You know. Everybody's got to just be like the Joneses. They got, I hope there's no Joneses this year. If there is, I don't mean it to them. But that's just American expression. Like a Doe, John Doe, I'd say. They got to be like that. We got to be so classic. They're afraid of the new birth. Let me tell you, brother. They say, oh, one time I was out there preaching, and there's a boy from a certain church that I used to belong to come up and said, Billy, you know what? I was enjoying your message so much until that woman got up back there and began to scream and cry, and she got all them people started crying. Oh, I said, that excites me. He said, well, I couldn't hear what you were saying. And said, that was all right up to that time. I said, oh, she's just rejoicing. Said, oh, that just made chills run up my back. I said, brother, if you ever get to heaven, you'll freeze to death. You say. I said, because even the angels in heaven is screaming with wings on their face and on their feet, damn, holy, 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 holy. I said, you're living in the quietest world you ever lived in. If you go to hell, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you go to heaven, there'll be glory, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Damn. That's the quietest place you ever lived. He happened to play on a Colgate baseball team. And he said, well, they don't do that in my church. I said, that. I hope you don't think yours is the pattern. And so he said, that don't look very much like a Christian to me when a minister speaks and says that. I said, you know what? That encourages me. Here's the amen, and so be it. I said, I used to have an old dog. And I said, he'd take anything but a skunk. And I said, I gave him a tree under a brush pile, and the only thing I had to do is get him to get that skunk. I didn't want it myself, that's how I got my school clothes. I was trapping and hunting. And I get this skunk on the brush pile, and the old priest would stand there. The only thing I had to do was get him going there, raise up the pile, he'd get back and look at me like that. Then, Master, I go run me under there. Oh, yeah, I said, go get him, boy. Sticky, boy, go get him. He go get him. I said, the devil's the biggest skunk I know of. I hear people saying, that's right, amen. We got him treed then, brother. We'll get him free. Just let him go. Yes, that's right. We got, amen. And I said, look, I heard you the other night when Charles Nolan knocked that home run. I don't live very far from the park. I said, not over by 5 blocks. I said, I never heard such a noise in all my life. He said, oh, Billy, you work up in there. I said, there's 3 men on base, and you know Charles went to school with him. I said, sure. Said, he knocked the home run. I said, man, I'm telling you, you ought to see them slide in. I said, you unholy Lord, young man. I couldn't sleep quite. Unholy Lord. I said, if we're holy Lord, then you're unholy Lord. You see? I said, you'd be a poor basketball team. So I said, oh, yeah, I see. It's a home run. I said, you say you wasn't very much in tune. You're knocking straw hats down over one another's head, slapping one another, shaking and everything like that. I said, when the preacher gets that pulpit, hits one of them home runs like that, and 10 saints open up their way and see heaven go on. I said, they just start the King's Highway, that's all. There it is. Yes. Oh, yes, it's strange how they miss it, but I guess it's just to be that way. It's all cut out by God, and I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, how does a doctor ever find what kind of medicine that to work on a person with? Yes, they're afraid of new birth. You know what? The reason they're afraid of the new birth, because, listen, excuse me, my sisters, will you? It's a mixed audience, but you listen to your doctor, I'm your brother. Any birth is a mess. I don't care where it's at. If it's in the pig pen, in the barnyard, or if it's in a pink decorated hospital room, it's a mess. and a new birth is too. It'll make you squat and ball and wash all that paint off your face. It'll do things for you that you didn't think you'd do. You'll carry it on like you never did think you'd do. It's a mess. But you know, before you can be born, you have to die. And some people die awful hard. They kick and ball and scream and tear off. But unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. If you want the rainbow, who dies to yourself in your own man-made theology and be born again? Take on new life. It's messy. Unless a grain of corn falls in the ground and rots. Unless a man rots to his own theology. Unless you rotten to Methodist theology. Unless you rotten to Baptist theology. Unless you rotten to Pentecostal theology. Until you rot to those things and give yourself into the hands of God. Then the old man will die and the new man will be born in Christ Jesus. And you will rise. In the power and the resurrection of Christ and the life that is in Christ will be in you and me. That's what's the matter. Yes, there's where it's at. How do they get medicine? You know how to get medicine? They take a guinea pig and they work up some kind of stuff, medicine, and think this ought to do a certain thing, and they shoot it into a guinea pig. If he survives it, they'll give it to you. You know, everybody ain't made like a guinea pig. You know, sometimes the medicine will kill you. There's been about as many killed with penicillin as has been healed or hell. So, you know, everybody ain't made alike. So it'll help some and kill the other, because all men ain't made up like guinea pigs. But you know, it'll help some and kill the others, but there's one thing sure. God's top seed will hurt no one but cure all. That's right. For he said, whosoever will. It won't kill you. It'll heal you. Oh, heal the brokenhearted. Lift up those feeble hands. God's joy. Take a little washroom and go back and she can you talk to the insurance man that comes to the door and let her get filled with the Holy Ghost. She can give a testimony of a shake the shingles over the top of her. Amen. She's back, something. Something happened to her. She's born in the Spirit of God. Take the ornery prostitute that ever walked the street out here. The dogs wouldn't even look at her. That's right. Let her come in and get cleaned up from God's shield. Be a crazy neighborhood.
Amen.
That's what the grace of God does. Amen. Don't whitewash, but it washes white.
Yes.
That's right. Make her gun barrel straight. I've been there in old times, backwoods, sky blue, sin-killing religion. Yes, sir. That kills out sin and self, and you're born again of the Spirit of God and live for Him.
Amen.
That's the kind that saves you, brother. Sometimes I go back down in the state of Kentucky. You know what? Them Baptists down in the state of Kentucky would make some of us Pentecostals feel ashamed. They said, Brother Brad, you said you was a Baptist. Yeah, I was a real Baptist, though. We didn't walk up and take the right hand of fellowship. Brother, we got out the altar and beat one another in the back till we come through. We got up there, we had something. The other day in California, I was in a great church, one of our great Pentecostal churches. We made an altar call and three or four people come to the altar, and I begged for 5 minutes to get somebody to come pray with them sin. I was tore out more, I couldn't hardly stand up from preaching, and I said, will somebody come pray? Just sit there, just to start with a Pentecostal church. Well, then Baptist down, make a mistake. I was preaching down there on Declaration Day, way back out there, and hollering, old horses, eating corn all around, dinner on the ground, foot washing, you know. Set out there preaching, preaching on, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise on that resurrection morning. I said, verily, my old grandmother, I held her in my arms 110 years old when she threw her arms around my neck and said, God bless your soul, honey, dying forevermore, I'll meet you in heaven. But that time my old aunt sent it back there with a big old long bonnet song. She said, "Hallelujah! Here she comes." Oh, right there. Go sit there. Right there. There's a big old embark hat and hand like that. He said, "God be merciful to my soul." And here he comes down the yard. Before he got there, there's about 20 of those old mammies around him. We got saved before he got the altar, brother. You went out and told me he'd dinner about 4:30 that afternoon. Brother, they stayed there until they come through. Used to be old Cold Formal Baptist, now it's old Cold Formal Pentecostal.
That's right.
Exactly right. Yes, they give the little guinea pig an oxine, toxine, give it to him. He makes it, then they give it to you. It won't work. But you know, when God got ready to try his toxine out, he didn't give it to a guinea pig. He gave it to himself. Amen. That's right. God became flesh and dwelt among us in order to try the toxin on himself. Any real good doctor will try it on himself before he gives it to his patients. Right. And God, that's when he had become flesh. Jehovah was a spirit. God is a God the Father is a spirit. God the Son is a man who the Spirit of God dwell in. We all know that. So then when God came down and made flesh so he could take the toxin. So on the banks of the Jordan, he's taken the injection himself, the greatest thing that ever happened, when earth and heaven kissed, when the lamb and dove come together, the dove, the meekest bird of heaven, God, Jehovah, represented himself in the meekest bird of the air, the dove. God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, represented himself in the meekest animal, a lamb and a dove that are both the same nature. What if that dove would have fell down on the wolf and just, "Things of miracles is fast." The dove went, "Zoot, dog." Sure, first time the wolf snorted, you know, all them big tempers, you know, they got like that. "I'll tell you right now, if you don't draw tonight." The dove don't stay there. The dove is meat. The lamb is lead. The lamb don't have but one thing to offer. That's wool. I heard someone tell me, say, a woman said, "It's my American privilege if I want to smoke cigarettes." I said, "That's exactly right." Said, "They sell it." I said, "That's exactly right. But if you're a lamb, you forfeit your right. But if you're a goat, you won't do it." You just do what you want to. It's your right, but you forfeit it for the kingdom of God's sake. That's right. You forfeit all your rights. Kingdom of God's sake, forfeit it. Forfeit it. Now, we find out that God took the inoxine himself, the toxin. He was inoculated. They watched him through life. When they spit in his face, he said nothing about it. When they put an old dirty rag around his head and hit him on top of the head and said, "Now if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you," and we'll, he never opened his mouth. They jerked handfuls of beard out of his face when it was bleeding. They put a crown of thorn on his face. He said, "I could speak to my Father and he'd send me 20 legions of angels. But my kingdom's not of this world." And the top seemed hell in a time of temptation. They took him on the cross and let him thirst up there and die, bleed till his human body run dry. Top seemed hell. He riled out back when he was wild on it. That's the kind of top seemed. Everybody in the world was watching it. The disciples was watching it. Then they see him to finally, when he comes to the last hour, what would they say? "Oh, I was wrong, I was wrong. Take you off. I'll join your churches. I'll believe your theology." That into thy hands I command my spirit. Father, it's finished. Oh, Father. The toxin hell, man. The toxin hell. Then they hear him. Somebody said, "This imposter said that he had raised on the third day. Let's make sure." So they took 100 men, rolled a big rock up against the door, and put Caesar's seal up on him. Burn up, Bridget. What's going to happen? Where's the toxin at now? Glory to God on Easter morning, it proved what it was. Amen. It broke the seal of Caesar. It broke the seal of death. It broke the seal of the grave. It broke the seal of hell. It rose out again. Hallelujah. Triumph over death, hell, and the grave. God stopped in hell. There's 120 people said, "I want to get inoculated too. I want that kind of inoculation. Don't you want that?" Jesus said, "The same inoculation I've got, you'll have it also. It'll work on you just like it does on me." The words that I need to you also, if you just get inoculated, this toxin is on. Well, if you say that's wrong, oh, wait, neither. Two comes in and said, Lord, let my one of my sons throw your right hand where he said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Said, yes. In other words, inoculated with the inoculation I'm inoculated with? Said, yes. Said, you will. But the right and left hand's not mine. That belongs to the Father to give that. But said, you shall be inoculated. In other words, receive the same that I have got. Now, wouldn't you like to have that inoculation? Wouldn't that be fine to know that in life you can live that life? And in life these signs will follow you. In death you can say, Father, it's finished. Into thy hands I command my spirit. Oh, my. Then on the resurrection morning, glory to God, they might pat in the face of the shovel. But on that resurrection morning, you'll come forth again, brother, my faith. Oh, they saw hell in the hour of death. It held in temptation. It helped in the sick bed. It helped in the grave. It held in hell. It held on Easter. And there's 120 desires that inoculation. So they went up to the upper room to wait for their inoculation. Amen. Jesus said, I send the Spirit now, and just as soon as you get up there, play your whole. I begin to feel real religious, honestly. Glory! Don't call me a holy roller anyhow, you might as well get started. You can't pass this one shot, here's one that does. I believe it. Amen. Yes, brother! Hallelujah! Hide in the upper rooms and waited for the inoculation to come. All of a sudden, there came the serum from heaven. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Here comes the inoculation now. The medical kit for healing. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The staff of our peace is up on him. This is right that he was healed. Hallelujah! The symptoms of that death on Calvary sent back the inoculation to the church for the commission for the all the world. Preach the gospel. These signs shall follow in this inoculation. There came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, inoculated 120 out of the air, just like a brand of cat. Brother, here's one. Staggered under the impact of that inoculation. They were so drunk on the Spirit, so the people thought they were crazy. They said, these men are full of new wine. Peter said, full of new wine. God began to preach to them. Now, the first thing you know, they said, we would like to have some of this inoculation. They seen something real. The hungry-hearted church member saw something real, something that actually those people had to make them act like that. They seen that they had something because they looked like they were drunk, and yet they were religious, and yet they had science on. Said, well, now, have you got a doctor here? Is there any doctor here? He said, yeah, we got one here, Dr. Simon Peter. Come forth, Dr. Simon Peter. Tell him the prescription. So what can we do to be saved? What can we do to get some operations? Peter said, well, you must take the potion. You must give him right here to fellowship. And if he tries for 6 months, first, to see whether he works or not. Oh, mercy. That's man-made theory. Peter said, we can't have everybody. He baptized the man of Jesus Christ and the man who understands. And he shall receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to say, I'm giving you an eternal prescription.
Yes.
Dr. Peter gave him a, Dr. Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost gave us an eternal prescription. Not join hands, shake hands, sprinkle. He said, repent. Not come into the church and say, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is in you and your children. That's it. Is there no body in you? Is there no position that is crazy? That's right.
You get a real doctor that'll write out a prescription, and you take it down to some quack druggist,
and he goes to mixing that prescription with something else, he'll kill the patient.
Exactly right.
That's what's the matter. We got too many quack seminaries. Let's try to make something else. Join the church. Your mother belongs here. Put your name on the book. Brother, don't you tamper with that prescription. You give it just like the doctor wrote it.
Hallelujah!
And the same result will come.
Amen.
If you'll follow the prescription. Don't give it from it. Now remember, prescription has so much poison in it, then it has enough antidote to upset that poison. The poison, he diagnoses your case, and then he gives you enough poison to kill the germ, enough antidote to upset it so it won't kill you. If you put all antidote, it won't help you. Put all poison to kill you. So it has to be a balanced prescription. And God the doctor knows how to give it to Simon Peter, and he wrote it, and he said, this prescription is for you, your children, and the man of God, and as many animals. You say Pentecost is not right. What's the matter? What kind of a drugstore are you going to? That's what's the matter. We've got hard parties in the church. Don't call games to pay the preacher. Set a little rooftop, roosters bar them up without something for $1.50 a plate to pay the preacher. Him standing up there talking about salaries and ain't never preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the matter, boy? That's the reason we got to check this. That's the reason we got people to go through the divine healing. It's because they haven't put the right prescription.
Amen.
Amen. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you'll believe in God's word. You'll believe in the word God says. You'll push away with it. Amen. And then people didn't sit there and think, well, Simon, I suppose. Brother, when they got that, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were staggered off. And if you Catholic person, the Blessed Virgin Mary was right there. And if God wouldn't let her come to heaven without she took that same prescription, how are you going to get there anything less? Some of you cold starch Pentecostals, you cold starchy Baptists, you cold starchy Methodists, how are you going to get there anything less than that when even the mother of Jesus Christ had to go up there and get the same thing and stagger and act like he's drunk? That ain't the Bible. I'll ask any professor to come disprove it. And every time in the Bible they ever got the Holy Ghost, they acted exactly the way they did there. Prescription will take the same effect on every time. Amen. What time is it? Oh, I thought it was 7 o'clock.
Oh, brother.
Listen, brother. Listen, sister. What the world needs today is to see something real. That's what they're looking for, to see something real. I mean the real born again. Now then, kind that was ordained eternal life will see it, my sheep, hear my voice. Exactly, that's right. You say, well, yes, we are Presbyterian, are we Methodists? I don't care what you are, if you hear the real voice of God, and the real voice of God made them people act like that and do like that and have a ministry like that, the same power of God will do the same thing today if you've got it. Why? If you receive it, it'll act on you like it did then. Yes. Certainly it is. Peter said this prescription is for all generations. So you people who are making up a bunch of man-made dogma and call it doctrine, calling creeds, church creeds, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, and even Pentecostal creeds, what's the matter with you? Take God's prescription. That's the reason you're sure you're sick.
Hallelujah.
And that the prescription fulfilled yet. God's got plenty of bond. Now don't worry about that. You just obey the prescription and see what happens. Repent and see if the Holy Ghost will come. Do as God said to do and see if the Holy Ghost will come. See if he'll take God's prescription. That's the reason it's over the sick.
Hallelujah.
And that the prescription fulfilled yet. God's got plenty of bond. Now don't worry about that. You just obey the prescription and see what happens. Repent and see if the Holy Ghost will come. Do as God said to do and see if the Holy Ghost will come. See if it'll take the same effect it did. What's the matter today, friend? We've got to really have it.
That's what God said. Something real. While I'm talking about real, let me close. Will you give me 5 more minutes? I like to hunt. I just love that hunt. Just to get to see the sunsets and get in the woods. As all of you know, my mother's a half-breed. My mother's mother comes from the Indian reservations, draws a pistol. So, my conversion never took it out of me, the love of the woods. A Christian businessman, full gospel, they take me on the river, no return, around the world, hunting to Africa, Asia, the mountains, Bud Brandon, the Rainy Pass Lodge at Anchorage, that's my cousin, see? And 16 planes going in for grizzly sheep and so forth, you hunter brothers and so forth. You ever go up there, let me ride him, and they get you in there cheap, see? So, and I get to go up there and hold meetings, and they take me in for nothing, because I don't have any money, so, and that's why, at least I don't have to have any money, if the Lord will send me to Africa, he'll say, Brother Man, somebody come and say, Lord said he gave you this, I'll say, thank you, Lord, I know that. I don't have to beg for nothing, the Lord won't let me go there, he keeps me here, see? Just, that's the way to live, I left the living out here, so he said, all right, I ain't got nothing, don't want nothing. So, I just want his grace, is all. I used to hunt up in the North Woods. I had a hunting partner up there, and all you brethren that hunt know what a good hunting partner is. You know one another. He was one of the finest hunters and the best shots I ever seen. You never had to worry about him. Sometimes you take a cheechocker in the woods, and you get, cheechocker, that means greenhorn, and it's an Indian word. But you take him into the woods, and you just have to keep, well, I don't even get him lost. But you never had to worry about old birds. He don't worry about that. But a half Indian himself. So, he was a fine fella, but the meanest man I ever seen in my life. What a cruel heart, this guy. He used to shoot little fawns just to make me feel bad. Now, I don't think it's wrong to shoot a fawn. If the conservation says for you to shoot a fawn, that's all right. Abraham killed a calf and fed it to God. So, the fawn part's all right. But not just to be mean. It's not what you do, it's the way you do it. So, sometimes it's not what you say, it's the way you say it. And so then, this little fawn, he'd see a little fawn, and he knew me being a minister, you know. He'd just shoot that little fellow 8 or 10 of them a year just to make me feel bad. And I said, Bert, you are one of the finest buddies, and I like to hunt with you because you're a good fella, but you are so mean. He said, you call me mean? I said, you're more than that, you're wicked. And he said, preacher, didn't ask you. I said, you're chicken-hearted like the rest of preachers. I said, I'm not chicken-hearted. But I said, man, hey, I'm a hunter. And I said, I'm not a killer, I'm a hunter. And he said, get next to yourself, Billy. One year up there, he said, I went up, and I was a little late getting up there. The season had opened a couple of weeks, and if anybody ever hunted in the North Woods, them whitetails, brother. Talking about who he needs escape artists, he's an amateur to them when they're shot at a couple of times. They just like that. And sometimes you can't see over 20 feet away from him, them woods there in Maine where you better know where you're at or you'll never come back. For hundreds of miles at this level, and you fall in the marsh and go over your head 10 times. And it's just dangerous hunting. If you're not a real woodsman, stay out of it unless you got somebody with you. So we were out there hunting, and before we went out, my wife was with me, and she stayed up the lodge at the camp. There's about 20 women up there. So Bert and I always take the cross to the other side of the mountain, and we knew where we were at, and it was hunting. And he said, I got something, Billy. I said, what is it, Bert? Reached down his pocket, and he had a little whistle. He could blow it and sound like a little fawn crying after a baby deer, you know, crying for its mammy. And I said, Bert, you're not that cruel. Would you call a doe up with that fawn call? He said, get next to yourself. I didn't really think he'd do it, honestly. We hunted, it's about 6 inches of snow on the ground, about good hunting weather, tracking. We hunted all the way till noon, didn't find a thing, not even a track. And deer feed at night, and then in the daytime they get back under the bushes and things, you can't move them. And so they won't move till it gets night again, unless you happen to step on one getting around. So then we hunted about 11 o'clock, 11:30, and we always packed a thermos bottle full of hot chocolate and maybe a sandwich, and we'd climb up as far as we could, and then at noon time we'd eat and then separate, and he'd go another way and me another way, and we'd come back to the spike camp for that night. Come in maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So then he's come to a little opening about the size of this auditorium in here, and he just kind of is in front of me, so he just kind of hunkered down like this. The hunker, I guess that's all right here. There's enough Kentuckians here know what I mean, I say hunker. So, just kind of stooped down, brother. And he reached back in his pocket like this, and he was going to get his sandwich out. And when he did, he brought out that little whistle. And I looked at him, and I said, oh, shame on you, Bert. He blowed it, and it sounded just exactly like a little baby crying for his mother. And when he did, I looked just across the place, and a great big dog stood up. And he had eyes just like a lizard. And he looked at me, them lizard eyes like that, and I said, you wouldn't do that, Bert. I said, that's a mother, brother. I said, that's a mother. She thinks that's her baby. He said, oh, get next to yourself, preacher. Sit around like this with his gun. Oh, my. And he blew it again. I could just see them great big eyes and big ears sticking out like that doe, the mother deer. She probably had fawns, you see. So her baby was in trouble. Just listen, that big ears up. And so he blew it again. Now, that's altogether unusual that time of day, 11 o'clock in the day. So she stepped out into this opening. Now, that's altogether unusual if anybody was there. Walked out of that opening, what was the matter? She was looking for her baby. She was looking around like that. Now, she wasn't playing a part of the hypocrite. She had something in her. She was born a mother, and her baby was in trouble. She was looking for that baby. Just then, you know, Bert, we never put a shell in a barrel, and that's bad policy. So I see him take this 30 off of it and put a 180 grain mushroom bullet. Oh, a dead shot. Pull that knife around, raise it up like that, and the crosshairs that scope right across her heart. Oh, God, how can that man do that? That mother looking for her baby. And then he'd be cruel enough to blow that precious long heart plumb through her. While across this building with that, using that heavy load of shell he was, why, he'd blow a heart plumb out of her. I thought, how can he be that mean? Yes, sir, that precious mother, that loyal heart, looking for her baby. Out looking for her baby, and then he'd shoot her heart out of her. Oh, Bert, you're wicked. And he looked down and see him moving down like this and setting himself, and all ready. I know what was going to happen. I couldn't look at it. And when I turned around to see what he was doing, the deer spotted the hunter. And she spooked the hunter for that means he got scared. And she looked up. She threw the deer ears up like that. Did she run? No, sir. Death or no death, her baby was in trouble. She was looking for it. Oh, my. She couldn't help it. She was a mother. She was born a mother. She wasn't playing a part of a hypocrite. She was a mother. Dead or no dead, that baby was in trouble and she was looking for it. And I thought, surely that ought to strike that cruel-hearted man. I see him leveling his step, getting ready to shoot. I turned my back. I couldn't look at it. I just couldn't stand it. See that precious mother go to get that precious loyal heart that she loved her baby so much until she was going to have it blow plumb out of her. Look at that old hunter was sitting there too. And know that meant death to her. But she was hunting her baby. I turned around and I thought, oh God. Oh, how can he do it? How can he do it? But I felt cool. I stand behind a little spruce tree. Oh God, how can he do it? There's a snowbank there. That precious mother's going to get her heart broken on my head. God, if he looks at it, how can he do it? I noticed the gun didn't fire. I turned around to see what he was doing. He was going like this. He goes, shaking. He looked down at me. Those lizard eyes had changed. Great big tears were running off his cheeks. He grabbed that gun, he threw it on the ground. He grabbed me by the pants leg. He said, Billy, I've had enough of it. Lead me to that Jesus that you talked about at the ring. What was it? He saw something real. He saw something it wasn't put on. He saw something that was genuine. He saw a mother's love that would stand in the face of death.
Or the brother's heart love. He saw something for real. Not a sermon I preached or a song that the church sung. He's a deacon in the Baptist church now. He caught me by the leg when I saw this. He said, Billy, I've seen something that's real. But bad enough. But tell me about it. I knelt down the snow and I said, Bert, God said if they'll hold their peace, these rocks will cry. You love him? He said, I want the kind of love for my God that deer had for a baby. There on that snow drift there, I led them hunter to God. I wonder tonight, how many of you would like to have that kind of love for your Lord? Like that sleeve, that needle. What did she do? She displayed something that was real. Now, friends, there's so much make-believe today. Let's not take that.
Let's have something real. It's so late. Let's just stand to our feet and consecrate our lives to God. All that wants God to come into your heart and give you an experience to be a lover of Christ and have the love for Christ that she could face death or anything, the kind of love that mother dear had for her baby, raise up your head and hands like this. Let's bow our head. Yes, Lord. We got bomb. There's bomb in Gilead. There's physicians here. God, I pray that you'll help the people now to come and be inoculated. Come and be inoculated from fear, from unbelief. Get ready for that great service tomorrow. Grant. With our heads bowed, how many of you wants that real Pentecostal Holy Ghost love of God? That Pentecost is real love. Would you come stand around the altar while I pray for you? Come move out of your position now while you're standing. Come up here and say, I want that kind of love, Brother Branham. I want that love, my Lord. God bless you. God bless you. That's a comfort of balcony for you. Come up. This might be the hour that all over life. What's any more greater for you, friend? No matter if you're a church member, that doesn't matter. You say, well, I belong to a Pentecostal church. But if you haven't got that dying love for Christ to display before the world so that people can see, won't you come? You Pentecostal people that know that you're living a life, you got temper, you got frustration, and you're sometimes fear and doubt. Why don't you come on up? Come on, show God. I'm sorry, God. But you come get this experience of the love of God in your heart so sweet that when you go to your parish, wherever God will lead you, young man, young woman, why don't you come and get a real inoculation from sin? Some of you students out there smoking cigarettes, aren't you ashamed? Come here. Or John Wesley would have turned in his grave. You made his students there? Come on up here. Won't you come? Set, get God in your heart, baby. Come. Won't you come out of the balcony? Oh, whosoever will. The prescriptions over the night. We got bomb here in Gilead, and here's the physician. That's where we get the medicine. Whatever wants to be. We have it here. Won't you come? Won't you come rededicate yourself to God and have an experience? God's going to, now remember, God's going to ask you, why didn't you come? Before morning, if you get sick, you feel pains in your arms. They're coming up around your shoulders. You know what that is, don't you? You're dying. You feel your pulse coming up. Your hands getting cold. The doctor runs up and says, it's a heart attack. The ambulance is speeding. And you feel your life, you're facing a feeling, you know you're going to die. God's going to say, why didn't you come? Well, Lord, I've gone to the church today from talk tonight. Why? Why? Why is there still sin sickness in the church? Is there no bomb to cure it? Yeah, there's bomb to cure it. There's physicians here. Everything's ready. Won't you come? Come now, water, will you go? Make me born to be like that deer. What was that deer? It's hers. Why don't you lay under his heart now? Let's give your life. He died for Jesus, you can be saved. Now that mother's good, nothing happened to her, she can forgive her baby. The Bible says so. But never can I forget you, he said. Your name for engraved in the palm of my hand. Won't you come now, Elizabeth, like a consecration service? One more time, so I'll be sure that I call everybody. Now remember, you Catholic people, you take rid of that mountain Catholic. I don't care. A Catholic can be saved in anything. I'm Baptist.
Right.
Well, I'm Pentecostal. A Pentecostal can be saved. But if you haven't got gold, this is. Though I see the tongues of man and angel and have not love, I am nothing. That's the Pentecost. Speak the tongue of man and angel, both the unknown and the known. Now, you met him? Though as Baptist and Catholic, though I understand all the mysteries of God, to explain the whole Bible, Lord, all, my theology is supreme and have not the kind of love. I am nothing. So I give all my goods to the Lord, and I buy the desert and sacrifice, faith and move out. So I do good, and have not love, I am nothing. Where there's tongues, it shall cease, where there's prophecy, it shall fail. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish, but in God's time, it can't be. In the grave. Let me live and use every ounce of my strength, my body, and all that I am to express the love of Jesus Christ that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, every person in here, you around the altar, whatever your trouble is, confess it to God. I got temper. I got habit. I'm ashamed of my life. I couldn't confess that yet. I'm going to pray for you. Everybody to be there. Our Heavenly Father, these people come upon the simple word of the living God. And upon the story that happened some 20 years ago, when a cruel, tolerant hunter, to be mean and different, that day up there on that pilgrimage, when he saw a mother deer display a real genuine love, he saw something real. That's what he wanted. Surely, if God could give that kind of love to an animal, he could give it to a man. There you give him that great experience of the new birth. Now, Father, these are standing around the altar. They're women, mothers, fathers, children. God, they're standing here